This is The Stark Truth, hosted by Robert Stark. Brought to you by StarkTruthRadio.com. Robert Stark is an American journalist and political commentator. You can listen to his podcast at www.StarkTruthRadio.com.
Stark here, and I got a really exciting guest for today. I'm joined here with Mr. Omar King. Omar King, great having you on. I guess it's technically not your introduction because you were on that really crazy chat that we did that one day after we were at a restaurant.
Oh, God. Shit. You're still on it. You're still on about that weekend.
That fateful weekend.
That fateful weekend.
Omar, remember the guy at the hot spring with his pecker out?
Who could forget, you know? You're the one who's been very adamant about that fella.
Anyhow, Matt, you have the launch. Matt Pegas is here. Matt Pegas has joined here, and he is the launch of his publishing venue, New Ritual Press. And they're publishing with Dan Baltic. You're publishing Omar's book, An Odyssey of Dingbats, with an exclamation mark. And we just had the new, what's it called, the Spring Equinox Party.
Yeah, the Midnight Equinox Party, indeed.
Yes.
It was a great success. New Ritual.
Oh, yes.
Thus far been a success. Omar's been our first and only book thus far. We will be doing more, figuring out my life and, you know, doing a press while at the same time continuing to work is no easy task, but we're getting our ducks in a row. And I appreciated your article about it, Robert. It was very positive, and we appreciate that. And I would say the party was a huge success.
Omar, how do you think the party went?
No comment.
Yeah.
No comment.
Fair enough.
I've already said what I said. No comment.
Omar, do you want to talk about
Nervous?
An Odyssey of Dingbats? It's a collection of short stories.
Oh, my book? Oh, God. You mean my schizophrenic dime store novel?
That's the one.
Yes. All right. Okay. All right. Well, it's a... God. I'm sorry. I can't take myself seriously with you, Robert. I'm just being frank. My collection of... I'm sorry. I just can't take myself seriously with you. God. But no, it's a collection of stories and other obscurities. I say this on and on and on. But also, it's a schizophrenic dime store novel because some of the stuff in the stories are quite schizophrenic. Oh, geez. If you read the other shows like Lester and The Chimp Dream and, God, the other one, Chester and The Golden Elephant, and then there's Colleen and David and Martha Speaks of Friend Fiction, then you can understand why I said, a schizophrenic dime store novel. God, it's so bizarre. Very bizarre.
Tell us about the story. It's a true story, in fact, about your experience at the Costco parking lot.
You're on that one again? What the hell? God. God. I'm sorry. Excuse me. This is too funny. I'm sorry. I had this kind of I had this conversation with Evan last night, and he told me we would. I'm sorry. Well, Evan and I, we had this little conversation prior to this thing on the phone, and he was right.
That this story would come up inevitably. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, really? Oh, he predicted I would ask about it.
Yes.
Okay, so you were at Costco, and you were walking around the parking lot, so what happened?
Well, damn, okay.
Say what he did.
What did I...
Yeah, no, that's an old inside joke. Yeah.
Well, what didn't I do? Yeah. No, really, what happened was, God, it was during, I think, 2019, August of 2019, and I don't know if it was a Thursday or Tuesday, because I remember we would go off campus. So I used to go to Willenburg CTC, and at the time, our class, you know, all these different classrooms would go off campus, taking the van and stuff. So we went off campus, going to Costco and Torrance, the Costco and Torrance. At first, I thought it was the Costco in San Pedro because it just felt so close.
Is that kind of near the Duomo Mall?
Yes. Yes, it is. But stupid me, I just assumed it was San Pedro, but actually it's the one in Torrance. So, yeah, we went there, and I remember I got pizza and I think it was Pepsi Cherry or Dr. Pepper. Back then, I used to drink sodas religiously. I used to drink sodas. God, not anymore. But I remember Pepsi Cherry. Oh, God, that Pepsi Cherry was so good to drink with that, I think it was a pepperoni pizza. I remember at a time they used to have Supreme Pizza, but I don't think they got it anymore or something. I remember at that time, but I remember there was Supreme Pizza, there was cheese and pepperoni, but I got the pepperoni. Sometimes I would, you know, frequently I would get the hot dogs, but then it doesn't taste good anymore, you know, them hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Now, all right, so I'm basically telling you the whole story. I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but God, that's the story, basically.
That's not the story, I think.
Yes, it is.
That's the introduction. Listen, something important. Something.
Yeah. But that's half of the story I'm telling you. Okay. You're basically having me spoil the story
for you.
We have
to spoil it because without the grand finale, the grand climax, it's not really – it doesn't function – work as a story by itself without that grand climax.
God.
Pizza is foreplay.
That's just pretty. Sounds like a pretty typical day without
sex
the climax.
Pizza. Yeah. All right. You want to get to the sex stuff? I'll tell you. All right then. It was time for us to leave. And when it was time for us to leave, I remember I wrapped my pizza in tin foil. I don't think I took my Pepsi Cherry with me. I don't think so. Oh God, it's been so long ago anyway. So all of us, we all gathered together in line to go all the way to the parking lot. And we was parked all the way to the back. You know how that big old, big fat parking lot in the Costco in Torrance, if you ever been there. It's big.
I think the one in Torrance, but Costco parking lots in general are.
Yeah, they're big as hell.
Yeah.
So we parked all the way there. And so I remember we would walk. We would walk past all these other different cars, you know, basically cheat and stuff instead of walking from, you know, on the where the cars are oncoming and going the other way. We just went through basically, in the bull parking area where passing through different cars where they're parked and just giving you an idea, painting a picture, excuse me. So as a nose, I'm just so curious and so nosy as I am, and always will be nosy. I just look through just walking and just with my kooky eyes like this, looking through the cars, being curious.
Oh, you were peering into people's cars.
Walking like this. and just being nosy, you know. And serves me right for being nosy, I'll tell you that. Serves me right to being so curious and nosy, because when I passed one car, I'm trying to recall what kind of car was it. I don't know if it was a red one. Or it was dark and red. And it was like this. So it couldn't be a van or anything. It was just a simple, your basic.
A sedan?
Probably. Lord knows. All these cars look the same these days. Oh, God. But anyhow, the windows were sort of tinted, if that makes sense, dark.
Oh, yeah. You,
so tinted windows, dark. I don't know. What's that thing that you cover? That shade that you cover the window, even the front window, and then all these other things. You, whatchamacallit?
Like a sun shield?
Passenger seat, then the driver's seat, then the back. What's that? Well, it's like it has a little suction, what have you, a little suction cup, what you call it. I'm trying to recall what it is.
Hmm.
You got to know
like
this.
Like a sun shield, right?
Like a sun shield, but it's not the one that you fold. It's not the folded ones, though.
All right.
You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just stick it right there, and it covers whatever from the sun. And it's dark, you know. You hardly can see some. But so, yeah, they had this little sun shield or what have you, covering from the back seat, passenger seat, driver's seat, and, well, you know, the rest. And I reckon, oh, man, I can tell you this one. God. I remember this woman, and this fellow, he's like this, sitting like this, all comfortable. It's hard to tell what was going on because it was dark as hell. He was like this. And then the woman was right like this. This is the man, and this is the woman. I think I'm in the opposite like this, but I'm trying to. So she was like this. This is her head. And this is the fella. And it didn't make no noise, though, because, well, it's daylight. Who would want to make noise doing that during daylight?
Yeah, how much of them did you see?
Like this. But the thing is, with those little sunshades, it didn't cover the whole thing. It showed, like, the cracks, the creases, or what have you.
Oh, so you peeked
of the window.
For the crease.
That's what I'm telling you. I was nosy. I was looking through the car windows. Being nosy. But anyway, serves me right for being nosy. Because, well, the woman was sucking on him like it was a lollipop or something. Go. And he, oh boy, he was just so like the. Well, I'm assuming the noise.
Did you see his pecker?
Not entirely. I don't mean you see the skin, but not the whole thing. Who would want to see that? You know, who would want to see that?
Do you pronounce that? Action fellatio or fellatio?
Fellatio, but actually, there's two kinds. The one for the no, you knucklehead. It's fellatio.
Yeah,
Matt, how do you pronounce it?
Fellatio is the one for men, and cunnilingus is the one for women. So it's the men do giving the women, you know, oral sex, cunnilingus, and fellatio is the women giving the men. You know, a good shiner, a good sucking. but this is what I found it bizarre was how what occurred in their mind that they thought this was a good idea to do this at a parking lot. It just didn't.
I think you said like you don't. You're quite conservative because you don't believe people should do that in public.
Well, of course, you know, it should be in the bedroom or, God, at least somewhere that's private, you know.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
And that's that story is in your book.
Yes. We discussed this before.
So you have, there's another story which I didn't get to read the entire book, but I sort of skimmed through it. There's another story where you're in the bathroom and you talk, you overhear
Shame
a guy.
On you.
You overhear a guy talking about fellatio and cunnilingus. And is that also a true story? Were you overhear that in the
it
bathroom?
It is a true story. And it was, well, should I say? Well, let's just say it's where I in my occupation. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to give any details of where or so on and so forth, but my occupation. Well, anyway, I was outside of the men's restroom just waiting and stuff like that. Just wait because, you know, let's put it this way. It's full over there. The men's stall is full. The urinal stall is full too. So you got to wait outside. I was waiting. And this man, this tall fella, he was wearing a white polo shirt. He had graphic images on his arms. They call them tattoos and stuff.
All right.
Tall fella, almost, he looked like that guy, I'm trying to recall, this Italian fella from that Woody Allen movie, Blue Jasmine, if anybody's seen that movie.
Blue oh, yeah. Jasmine. I recently saw it.
Yeah.
Very good
okay,
movie.
Well, he looked like that fella, so a little bit like him. Hmm. And he sounded just like him, too. Anyway.
That actor. Let me look
oh, is it Bobby Cannavale?
Ah, I think you're right.
Yeah, him. Yeah. Him. He looked like him and sounded like him. I'll be damned if it was him, but it was him. anyway, I'm trying to recall what the word fellatio or
we said fellatio or
fellatio? Fellatio. No, fellatio, not fellatio.
I call
God.
It fellatio.
Only what it, friend, whatever his name is, calls it fellatio, I think, Robert.
Only friend?
Yeah. He had this odd, I don't even want to name the guy, but someone with a somewhat
friend.
Outlook that Robert knows.
Ah, fellatio, huh?
But Matt, you call it fellatio.
I do. Actually, what I call it a blowjob.
There you go, see? Continue.
Yeah.
So when I think of that word, fellatio, when you say fellatio, I think of fajitas.
Yeah, I agree.
So I thought,
like
no,
fajitas
no.
With some extra Cremo.
Oh, God. Robert, no.
Cremo.
Crema. Moral crema.
Wow.
So wait, what did the guy
God
in the bathroom say?
Wait a minute. God will get you for that, Robin. If you've seen Maud, the show, this is the line where Mott says, God will get you for that, Robert. Well, she doesn't say Robert, but you know, you get the gist of what I mean. Anyway, so the word fellatio was thrown around and so there was no sex was going on. So this is no sex. I mean, there sex happened prior to this sort of experience that happened, but this was just the word fellatio being thrown because these men were talking about God knows what. And he whispered to me, you know what that means, right? Like this. He was like, you know what that means, right? And I'm just confused. No, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean by that? It means eating. Now, should I say this? Because I don't know. Okay, well, I'll say it. It means eating pussy. And I thought that's what it meant, eating pussy at the time.
The other word kind of linguist means that. Fellatio means... Oh, but you thought fellatio means a man eating woman's pussy.
Yes. So I was just so stupid. You're gullible. I didn't know that until an associate from the community college tells me No, it means cunnilingus. But that's just the other way around. So anyway, that's what happened. That's what he says. Oh, wow. Ah. That's nice to know, I guess. I don't know why she know this. And I remember the woman, there was a woman, she came out of the women's restroom. And, well, I grabbed his, he grabbed, no, she, he was grabbing her bag because I guess, I don't know if that's the husband or the boyfriend or, you know, the, well, you know where men likes to cheat and, well, they like to be with the mistress. So I don't know if it was his mistress or something. And he walked, turned around and just winked at me. And I thought, the hell did I just get myself into? This is, so this, these kind of bizarre things happen. A lot of weird, bizarre things.
So your book,
know,
it's both
fictional
fiction
and
nonfiction.
Reality.
So it's reality mm-hmm. and stuff that's fantasy.
Yes, they call it autofiction, but I like to call it friend fiction.
So, like, the story of the crayon that's anamorphized, that's obviously fiction. But doesn't the crayon in the story, doesn't he see the crayon see, like, a couple having cunnilingus? It's like a gimp?
No, they're not having cunnilingus, if you read the orange crayon.
It's like
they're doing
a gimp and a dom?
No. BDSM, but not cunnilingus. I know what you get that idea from.
Can that be part of BDSM?
Yeah. I think so.
Well, it depends on the... it just depends on the circumstance, though. I have no clue, though. Let's put it this way. It's for us, it's for them to know, and for us not to worry about it.
And didn't you also have a dream about Matt and
oh,
a certain
God.
Older actress?
Shit, you're going to get into that again? already had this conversation in the car. But
do you want to say the name of the actress, or should we keep it discreet?
I don't know. It's best to keep it discreet, but I think people get just who she is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm an open book, but
I mean,
I
can. I'd like to say it, but I don't know. It's best to be. Well, the only thing I can say if that works.
Yeah.
Well, the name of the actress' name is Jessica Lange. There you go. Wow. I am box dependent. I am unboxed the Pandora's box. But yes, the dream. And I wrote all this down on text message.
And it was about cunnilingus.
Yeah.
God, that's what you wanted to hear. You have to let me get to the gist. God. All right. What happened was Matthew, he was on, I remember in the dream, Matthew was on the floor like a dog. And he had almost a leash, a leather, kind of black.
Like a dog collar?
Leather, a dog collar, but the leash was leather. Had all them spikes around him, whatchamacallit. Them
a spike
collar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was on the floor. I can't. Now, this is the part where this was all vague, you know. All of it was vague. I couldn't make out if he was naked or something or fully clothed. Now, this is all vague. Okay? This is all open to interpretation. He was on the floor, and I remember she was wearing a black satin robe covering her sandpapered bosoms and everything else, sitting on the edge of the bed. The motel room was dimly lit, dark, red, the red lighting, hot pink is what they call it, because it's just warm and red, warm and pink, you know. And music was playing. The music was from Twin Peaks, Johnny Jewel, Slow Dream playing in the, I don't want to call it vibe, but I'm just going to call it atmosphere, because the atmosphere was sultry. It's a sultry atmosphere. And she was sitting there, and Matt was going little by little, slowly but surely, leaning in. Well, crawling, but just going forward and moving forward like a dog crawling. And her legs were spread open like this. Let's see. I'm trying to paint a picture with my fingers, so bear with me here. Like this. This is, well, like this is just how she was. And her robe was this way. And I slowly but surely undressing the robe, going up in the skirt, thing his hands and look his fingers and cold his hands and cold fingers going up her wrinkled legs and then thighs and then going all the way up to her snatch. Slowly but surely it felt quite softer or just soft and scratchy a little bit. The lips and stuff, he got in there. And she was moaning and doing all sorts of things. Like that, you know, relief. I know I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm well, you asked, and I'm delivering. Oh, boy, it was a crazy dream. Then he started eating her out. Eating her out, and golly. Then she whipped her head back like this out of sheer satisfaction. And the rest was all vague. Then he was shooting up, I think it was heroin or meth with Christopher Saiche, Chrissy, my friend. Which was very weird. I don't know why that one sort was prominent in the dream. He asked Matt, have you ever tried this before? And he shook his head, no. Well, get a load of this. And boy, oh boy. It was like saying Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He looked like... Well, you met. I'm sorry to.
I've met him.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah.
You looked cherubic looking, cherub looking. If anybody knows the word cherub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Angelic.
Angelic. Very angelic looking. Innocence. You look innocent, and you had no clue what this was. Well, I'm sure you know what meth and heroin is.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've never tried it before.
No, actually. Not really. Yeah.
No, I don't think I've tried it.
Good, don't. I'm trying to make his voice Chris voice, but I'm a bad, bad impersonator in doing his voice. We're bad at doing these voices, but it's so good, so bad that it's so good. And he said, I'm trying to recall. The whole thing was vague. Shooting up meth. I remember he was French kissing Jessica Lange. Like this. Like this. Give back to Matt. Matt gave back to Jesse. Jesse Lange. Jesse Lange gave it back to Chris. I'm trying.
It's just audio, but like just the audio. I have to describe the visuals. Like Omar doing the whole thing with like his tongue, but like the audience is just gonna hear the audio. They're not gonna see like his tongue gestures.
Okay,
it's like
okay.
This. The three of them was having sexual relations in the bed. Now this is sounds so. It sounds so basic. So. Generic, but I want to be profound.
And this is not simple. In the book.
No, it will be in a future book, perhaps. We think.
Fingers crossed. I got so many things going on. My mind is all over.
So Omar, you were recently on the pretty well known YouTube show, The Soft White Underbelly. How did that go?
It was nice. Actually, it was very nice. I liked it very much. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed myself. It was Mark Leiter from Soft White Underbelly.
And have you been getting a lot of feedback online from your book? And Matt, you want to comment on that too, since you're publishing it.
I will. Yeah, I'll let Omar go, but it's doing well. I will say that, doing very well.
Yeah, I'm very happy about it. I'm so thrilled and happy. All I can say, I'm just happy. There's so many words you can say, but really, truly, I can only say one word. It's just happiness is what comes out of me, and I am happy about it. I don't like to mince words. It's hard for me to mince words, but all I can say one word is just happiness, sheer joy.
Omar, what is your writing process, and what gave you the inspiration to write An Odyssey of Dingbats?
Well, prior to Dingbats, Dingbats wasn't always going to be Dingbats. Originally, I had so many titles for it. Originally, the title was going to be An Odyssey, An Orgy of Lunacy. And then I switched it to an Odyssey of Lunacy. Then I changed it to, An Odyssey of Divine Absurdity. So many different titles. But then I went to An Odyssey of Dingbats. And that just clicked. I don't know. If you know in your heart, you know something.
Oh, yeah.
You know it in your heart. It just.
Yeah.
Right there, it just, ding, bells were ringing.
Indeed. And it makes sense to me, actually. I hadn't even heard some of those other titles, although I knew you didn't settle on it immediately. But I have to say, go on, sorry.
I have them in my Google Docs. I should show them to you.
I can tell that the idea behind them is all similar, but An Odyssey of Dingbats is the only thing that really, you can tell that's the one when you hear it. You know, it's just odd enough, I think, and it's great.
It is.
And it's a little bit, not in any kind, the book has other levels than this, certainly, but you'd say it is a little bit of an homage to A Confederacy of Dunces, right?
Now that I'm just recently, this is all connecting synchronicities.
Yeah.
Story of the Eye, George Bataille.
Right.
If you notice.
I mean, yeah, I think there's there's a lot more to Odyssey of Dingbats than just oral sex.
I would have.
Right. I recently bought that book, Story of the Eye, at Storybooks Cafe. I already told you this. So I was going to go down to Storybooks Cafe that Friday. Was it Friday or Thursday? Thursday.
Thursday,
right after my interview with Mark Leiter, we was going to go down to Storybooks Cafe together, but the traffic. And so I just thought, that's okay. You can Uber me to Stories. I'll go there. And so I just went there to do business the clerk. It wasn't Alexandra, somebody else. The four copies, I promised to bring some more. So I delivered. And I made a good penny, a pretty good penny, I'll tell you that. I'm not going to tell you how much, because it's nobody's business how much I make. And it's none of my business how much they make, Mm-hmm. But it's really good, very decent, a very good, pretty penny. Anyway, then I saw my mug from Beyond the Last Estate there. If anybody's, familiar, Beyond the Last Estate, I am the cover boy of this current issue, the third one. I saw it right there, and some guys said, that's you?
Yes. Oh, I saw that on Twitter. Yes, what exactly is that literary magazine?
Yeah, we can plug our friend Gabriel Hart's.
Yeah, please do. Please do,
yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, Beyond the Last Estate. I believe there maybe was a separate magazine called The Last Estate that he was involved in. I would have to ask him for some more of the history. But in any case, we now have Beyond the Last Estate, which is his current, you know, venture. Omar was on the third edition. There's been two others. I think it comes out. So I actually wish I knew these details off the top of my head. I believe it comes out maybe quarterly or so. I just ordered all three issues because I wanted to.
Wow.
And also, Omar, I didn't even tell you this yet, but I got some water on the copy I borrowed from you. So I'm going to give you a fresh one.
Oh,
it's
well,
not completely
okay.
ruined, but it spilled in my bag. So anyway, we'll give you a
which, thank you.
You should put it in plastic or something. I don't know.
I need to.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I gotta say, how did you get water?
I had a bottle that I thought was secure that ended up not. But anyway.
That's okay.
We've all
but thank
you know,
you. Hey,
fired our
I understand.
Copies. Oh yeah, for sure. I got the
thank
because
you.
I was ordered. It's a happy ending too, because I was ordering that, I was like, well, I don't want to waste shipping on just one. I'll go ahead and I'll buy all three. So I got all three coming.
Oh, great.
It's a pre yeah, so thank we to say it's a print only magazine, and I'm trying to get the timeline.
Wow. Well,
maybe a little more frequently than quarterly. I think it's every few months, kind of.
Dang. Yeah. Man, you could have come down to Stories and bought you a copy, man.
Thinking about
doing that online. I know it's online's fun, but all that trouble online. I might as well go down there.
Yeah, well, hey, I'll leave the Stories copy for a good window shopper, you know?
Yeah.
Going there with the intention of getting, I might as well just get online. But the beauty of Stories is that maybe there's... Oh, yeah, just wanted to plug Beyond the Last Estate, really, which we did.
Yes, also about that, even that story of the eye. Also, I need to get to that. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you so much, Matt. Story of the Eye. I saw it. I had to buy it. Good $15 I spent. Oh boy. And so when I saw Story of the Eye,
yeah,
I just, that hit me right there. That is the cover of the eyeball, and it looked like an egg and an eyeball. Golly, it connected to a little similar to Dingbat's cover.
Yeah,
and the Dingbat's cover similar to that one Story of the Eye cover.
Oh, definitely. It's the,
and I didn't
you know, the
put
eye
the two
thing.
Together.
Yeah, it comes together, and you know, it's on the dollar bill too. It's I do listen not to get too esoteric,
right.
But I do
go
think
ahead.
The eye on Dingbat's plays a sort of super egoic, all-seeing eye kind of role.
Right.
Yeah.
And Matt,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Matt, do you have something you want to say about Odyssey of Dingbats?
I have lots of things I want to say about an Odyssey of Dingbats. I wrote the intro, so I could direct.
Oh man, I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah, but hey, because I know, listen, I'm a long-standing friend of your pod or co-host for many years as well, and obviously I've talked a lot about Omar and Dingbats in recent times. But I'll assume a general audience here. I met Omar at a open mic night at the Noisy Nest in Beverly Hills last August. Me and
friend
Evan met Omar, and
that was a Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. I immediately just thought that his voice, literally his voice that you're hearing today, but also his literary voice, which I soon became more familiar with, were you know worthy of being promoted. I could tell.
No.
You know, and then he read some stories.
Thank
that
you,
night.
My friend.
I'd been, you know, I do the New Right podcast with Dan Baltic, obviously, and for a while Dan had said we should start a press. I was resistant because there's a lot of small presses, and that's still kind of an issue. But it kind of clicked for me with Omar. Like, it's not really about, you know, trying to position yourself as the small press that's going to publish every.
Right.
But rather just
absolutely.
About people and wanting to work with them. And when you have a little bit of wherewithal with how to publish on Amazon, which I do, and I do emphasize a little bit because I'm starting to realize how little I know as I try to take this more seriously. That's another issue, but
hey, at least you're learning.
Enough to,
at least you're learning.
I'm really proud of the way Dingbats looks. You know, you can tell it's an Amazon book, but it's pretty good looking. You know, I think we'd all agree,
right?
So it just became a collaboration thereafter, and now Omar and I are thick as thieves.
Absolutely, partners in crime.
Partners in crime. Yeah, but to focus, I guess, on the book, yeah, it's kind of as Omar pitched it, schizophrenic dime store novel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get what you're saying with the schizophrenic thing, but I would also add another note, which is as crazy as it is at times.
Oh, please do.
Also, quite serious in other ways. It's very
and Matt, you can confirm
time.
there are numerous references to oral sex.
There's
God.
Probably three or four, yeah.
You with that stupid oral
but hey,
sex.
It's about a lot of things. There's stories that are somewhat sad moving.
Oh yeah, I wanted to say
yeah.
is the story that Elmore read about the aging actress, I think like Barbie,
yeah,
at the
yeah.
Equinox party. I will say like he really did. I think it'd be doing him a disservice if I would just say it's a silly, just like a silly book. Because when he read that, like I really, he did an excellent job, really encapsulating the emotion, and the woman he's reading from, like you feel all her emotions, her trauma,
Yeah.
her pain, her sort of coping onto her past legacy, the brief euphoria and joy that she feels that moment she goes to that hipster bar and she gets back some of her past youth. So. There is a lot of emotion to it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's Barbie, Barb, the former star, which, as Omar accurately pointed out, the reading is one of my favorite stories, and I was glad he finally read
and
it.
And there is oral sex in that, too, though.
I guess there is a reference to it. But I don't want listeners to think that it's all sex, because it's not. I think the maybe solitary negative Amazon review is someone accusing the book.
Oh, the one negative review. So yeah. I looked over Omar. His reviews were overwhelmingly positive, and I want to emphasize it got a very positive reception. There was like maybe just one negative review, and the negative review said like everything in it was about sex or butt play.
Or butt play, did you say?
Or something like that.
Butt
but it's
play.
Like you get people who discover him from Soft White Underbelly, and a lot of it's a pretty popular channel with normies, so.
Yeah.
You're going to get people who are going to stumble across it around
yeah,
it, and they're not really in the same wavelength.
With the negative, the pretty much solitary
it's
negative.
It's just one, you're right.
Which, Omar, you took it in stride and thought it was kind of funny. But it's just it passed a certain point, it's a numbers game. When you're selling almost 1,000 copies, which is where we're at.
Wow, really?
Drop that, but yeah, we're at like 900-something.
Oh, my God.
When you sell that
wow.
many, it's just a numbers game. You'll have someone leave a negative review, that's all. Yeah.
Well, hey, at least I'm glad that they're concerned for to have a happy life and get laid.
Yeah, there you go. It's a message of kindness, perhaps. No, yeah.
I know. I couldn't help myself just laughing. I thought it was sort of silly, but I thought it was mean, but also silly, and I just couldn't help myself laughing.
Yeah, no, it was funny. The person clearly threw the book out, which I found a little bit amusing. I don't know. It's over the top. Like, you know, you could just
I know.
Get rid
well,
of the book.
Hey.
You could give it to
hey,
good
that's
hell.
Good.
Cycle it, but they threw it in the trash, they emphasized.
Can't they just
well,
return it?
Or, yeah, they absolutely can return it. You can return things to Amazon pretty easily. So, yeah, I don't
so,
know.
So, Omar, you have some really
yeah.
interesting and excellent artwork. And that's also in the
yeah.
book if you want to talk about your artwork.
Oh, geez. My artwork. Well, where do I begin? The computer art pieces or the cereal box art pieces
or everything.
The canvas ones? Everything. God, everything. And that's all that doing it has become a genesis. Well, yeah, sort of a genesis, because it was from 2017 going all the way up now, where we are now. So it's just a whole, how long has it been? 7 years? 8 years?
I'm
trying to think. How long has it been? 8 years?
What year did you start?
2017.
Yeah, that's funny. That's when you started doing art. I've never asked you this. Or have you been drawing your whole life?
Excuse
yeah,
me.
2017 was 8 years ago now. Is that when you officially started doing art?
Well, on the which computer, yes.
I see. So
but
that's
I've
when you kind of consider
art pieces, well, like
yeah.
art pieces, you the them doodles or doodling on the table or doodling on a little pieces of paper about God, third grade, but I never
yeah.
took it seriously that way. It became just practice.
Yeah.
And the same with now in 2017 with the computer art. It just became practice.
Yeah.
And day by day, I just Microsoft MS Paint.
MS Paint, yeah, right on.
Microsoft Paint.
Yeah, yeah, no, and we love the art, and I mean, the art's a huge part of the book, as Robert said. And Robert, you're a painter too, you know.
Oh yeah.
I did want to. That's one thing. You guys have some things in common, and some things, I guess, very much not in common.
Do.
But the paint, the fact you have definitely some similar creative interests in that you both write, write up even on certain themes. I'd go so far as to say, and also that you both are artists, is something I
connect
to immediately. And obviously, give some context. We've all hung out in person a few times now, but this is the first time we've done a podcast. Well, no, you said that at the outset. There was a weird impromptu in person one, but this is the first real public meeting of the minds, I suppose.
I mean, the first interview, because we had a Omar was on the podcast, but I feel like that doesn't really count as a proper interview. Is
what anyway, you were saying something about it, deflect. You were talking about the art, and I was gonna ask you also,
my art. You're asking me if I just got lost in the conversation.
Exactly. Yeah, Robert, what's your take on the art?
Excuse me, I just got lost in the conversation. I think
there's a lot of, like, there's a sense, there is a real sense of emotion, but I'm trying to decide, I'm trying to see if I can look at a picture of it right now, like really get a feel for the characters, because you really get a feeling of emotion, but I'm trying to get a sense of emotion. So some of them, like, there's a sense it's very dreamlike, but there is this sort of unsettling emotional vibe that you're getting from the characters that are portrayed. I'm trying to think what it reminds me of.
American Horror Story. I mean, I don't know. There's like, oh, I don't know if that's the best reference for people, but that's certainly an influence. And I don't know. Yeah, the characters, and this goes to the book too.
But very unsettling. They're like the emotion.
This is what I would say. They're
portrayed. I'll show you.
With proper emotional dignity. You know, there's humanity there as the stories and the characters in the stories as well. You know, there's a lot of dignity. You can sympathize with their strange plights, but there's also no shying away from the kind of grotesque elements. And that's
for sure. The painting, and it makes sense because Omar, you're a fan of David Lynch, and Lynch definitely plays with that theme of the grotesque.
Yes, indeed. I love his works very much. It's a shame I never got to meet him. Oh man,
what's
I always
your favorite
wanted to meet him,
David Lynch movie or show?
The movie? Oh god. Okay. My favorite movie's gotta be Blue Velvet, but that's by default. You know, Eraserhead and Blue Velvet by default, but Straight Story did it for me.
Yeah.
Straight Story, Inland Empire. There's Holland Drive.
Yeah.
There's The Elephant Man. Oh god, that was amazing. It felt like watching a play or something, watching The Elephant Man. That was beautifully crafted. The Elephant Man. There was, I liked Wild at Heart and Lost Highway. Those were good. It was all right. And The Fire Walk with Me. I liked that one too, but I liked The Blue Velvet, The Elephant Man, Mulholland Drive. Oh, Straight Story. Inland Empire, and then the last one. We didn't expect it to be the last one. The Return.
Right.
Oh, the Twin Peaks sequel.
Right. Yes. Oh, God, I love that show.
Me too. I think it is real massive.
It was amazing. I even cried that one episode. I think it was part 15 or part 16, part where the log lady dies.
Right.
Episode 15.
Oh, yeah.
Where she says, you know, you know about death. It's just a change, not an end.
Yeah.
And then she says, Hawk, my leaves, or something, no, my log is is growing, is turning gold or old.
Yeah.
I couldn't make out what she was saying.
Oh, man, I'm getting chills.
Either old or gold.
Yeah.
My log is turning gold or old.
Yeah, I think
I'm dying, and that was it. You know,
and then she died in real life like 3 months later.
Yeah. Yes.
And then Miguel, whatever his name is, who plays Albert, died.
He died, Miguel Ferrer. He died as well, and Peggy Lipton died too.
So it's, I mean, that was 8 years later, but like, yeah, it's a lot. It's sad.
Look, Peggy Lipton died, and God, that the man with the one arm died too, and
David Bowie
died. Laurie died. All of them died. Francis Bay died. If anybody remembers Frances Bay from Blue Velvet and Twin Peaks, she played Mrs. Tremont.
No, I don't see. So
the old lady.
Yeah, the one with the son, the grandson who practices magic.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
She who is died.
She in Blue Velvet. She's just probably a local.
She was the auntie.
Yeah.
She played the auntie to Kyle MacLachlan.
That makes sense. Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, it's an aging force of people in those films, and it's very sad to think that they're gone. But yeah, I mean, there is that element of death as a change and a transformation as opposed to an end, I think. That shines through in his work as well.
Omar, do you also really like Lynch's visual aesthetics?
I think it's an artistic smash.
Yeah, have you seen his paintings, Omar?
I've seen them.
Oh, yeah. I guess
I've seen them on Google.
They actually are kind of similar to yours, and now that I think about it, there's a similar grotesque.
What do you think about the whole cliche where people try to find meaning to Lynch? Because, like, I don't think Lynch, it's like, feels like he never wanted people to find meaning. It's more like, more the experience of watching it. Like, it's a piece of art.
Right.
Or the vibe it creates, but I don't think he even wanted people to like try to find the meaning of it.
Art, just so you want me to explain aspects, and I'll say the same thing what Lynch said to the people. Well, I don't know who asked that question, but about in regards of art. And art is, well, shouldn't be explained. You know? If that makes sense. Art shouldn't be explained. Or art doesn't have to make sense. So with regards to that oral sex thing, it doesn't have to make sense. It just happened. It doesn't make sense. And how can you fathom or make reason of that?
You don't think
there was no reason.
You don't think there needs to be some kind of political symbolism or cultural symbolism behind like an oral sex act. It just happens.
It just happens.
Yeah.
No, really, it's just the whole thing is unnecessary.
So Omar, you're from Gardena. What do you like about living in Gardena?
Yeah. Well, I like the train and the horses. I like the 99-cent store and the loony bin. I love the loony bin at our grocery store, the Gardena Market, and the department store. But, I just like it because it's at the Los Angeles County, but it's Los Angeles County nobody talks about that often.
Yeah.
Just they don't talk about it that often.
Yeah.
I even talk to my contemporaries when I go to readings and stuff.
So do you go to sort of like the hipster?
No clue.
Are you saying like up in the hipster area, like Echo Park?
Go ahead, tell me. Let me get to the gist. Yeah, Echo Park, Highland Park. I've been to Silver Lake. I've been to the whole nine yards, El Segundo. I've been to Oak Avenue. I've been to, if anybody knows Oak Avenue, Pico Street. I've been to Burbank. I've been to the whole nine yards, kiddo. Listen, I've been here all my life, so I know my whole whatchamacallit. I'm not so new to this rodeo,
right?
And so people really get so puzzled or perplexed when I tell them about Gardena or Wilmington or San Pedro or PV or all these other. What is this? What you're talking about? What are you talking about? I'm talking about Gardena. You ever been to Gardena before? No, I don't think I've been there. What are you talking about? And then I come to find out that they just recently, you know, moved to the area 5 years ago, 2 years ago, a year ago.
Yeah, what do you think of that dynamic in LA? Like a lot
4 years ago.
It's not bad, but lots of transplants here, you know? Lots of people.
Yeah, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
8 years ago for me, I feel like I'm local enough, but I'm an immigrant too, as they say.
God.
Yeah.
8 years ago, you haven't even heard of Gardena.
I've heard of Gardena. And in fairness, I hadn't spent a lot of time in Gardena before meeting.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I wasn't aware. I don't know if I've been like been there either than going near by the freeway, but I was aware of it since I was at least a kid.
Yeah. And Robert.
Oh, but they've surely heard of Torrance or
Redondo Beach.
Redondo Beach or Manhattan Beach. Huh. Santa Monica. Oh yeah. Or how about Mother's Beach? Mother's Beach is in Marina del Rey.
I think isn't that like the most polluted beach in LA? Mother's Beach?
Yes, it is. Yes, yes. Unfortunately, it is.
And it's like, well, it's calm. The water's calm, like a lake. Yeah. But you can't really swim there because it's polluted. There's another place.
Manhattan Cabrillo Beach
in San Pedro is the same where it's really calm, but it's also supposed to be pretty polluted.
It's polluted.
I think the best, the cleanest beaches in the LA area. I think like Redondo, Hermosa, and Manhattan are some of the cleanest beaches to swim in LA.
Yes. Yeah, I don't like going to them waters. I'd rather not catch any sort of disease or anything from the murky waters.
I mean, probably everywhere in LA is probably not so great to swim.
I always feel like Manhattan is super clean, but maybe it's just in my head.
Well, it's clean. It could be clean if they had the little machine cleaning up the water and stuff.
Oh, right.
I just found out they got the machines clean up all the trash and stuff. So it's sort of clean in a way. But yeah. But yeah, I'm surprised my contemporaries never heard of all these places here in Los Angeles County. They've never been to Gardena, and now come to find out they're coming down to Gardena Cinema.
Yeah,
I'm happy, but I'm also kind of miffed.
Isn't there
really?
I don't know if we've been there, but there is like a famous like Japanese landmark in Gardena.
Yes, it used to be a strawberry. Excuse me, a strawberry Japanese farm, a Japanese strawberry farm. Yes, the Japanese were the and I would they. I guess in a way, yeah, the colonizers. They colonized Gardena.
How many Japanese people are there left today?
They're a bunch.
Yeah. There's still some Japanese markets and things, right?
Yes, there is. And the thing about it is the way I speak is the same thing that some of these old Japanese folks speak as well, too. Some of them, they got the broken accent, so I will say. But some, they talk like you and I, and I don't mean this as an oddity. It's not an oddity. It's just it is for what it is.
Yeah.
It's not something to say. Wow, you isn't that room? No, it's just a way of life. It is a way of life.
Well, maybe this gives the opportunity because you know I don't like to beat dead. I don't like to drag dead horses. But everyone always
yeah exactly.
Omar, how did you end up with this way that you talk, given that you're born and raised?
Oh, yeah, you're from Gardena, but you're pretty young, but you have a pretty strong Southern accent.
And just an old-timey way of talking. So if you have any, if you want to share that, you know, I don't want to preempt your answer, but you've told me about how you kind of spent a lot of time with some of these older folks.
Yeah, my elders in middle school and my elders in high school and then a little bit of my elder at time, my elders in Career Transition Center.
But they were people who are from the South who you socialized with.
No. Well, some, not all of them. If it was from the South, it was the African-Americans. They were nice to me. And I understood them, and they understood me, and we just gel well together, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, so you picked up your accent from the older African-Americans.
And, yes, and the white ones, too. But now I'm sorry, this sounds like almost if we were in some kind of race book. Now, it happened.
Yeah.
I was like a sponge, and I just absorbed everything, even from TV and from books, reading to sharpen my vocabulary a little bit. I'm still trying to sharpen my vocabulary. It doesn't help from just working so much that I just lost my interest in reading. Now I'm getting back up again.
Finding time to read can be hard. Finding time to read while working can be really hard.
It is.
I'm a supposedly literary person. I probably read 10 books a year. I don't know. I listen to audiobooks too, but I'm not like this guy who fucking reads everything by a long
time. Right. Right. So I'm reading, watching TV, movies, old movies, television series. I'm like a sponge. I am a sponge. I take in everything, knowledge. I learn. And some of my folks don't speak the way I do. Maybe my little brothers here and there, but not the way I do, because they don't know a lick of Spanish that much. Hmm. But they sort of speak like me, but not really.
Are you fluent in Spanish?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Fluent in everything.
But you're younger. This is kind of a off the track
topic,
but it's interesting. But and so you find your younger siblings don't necessarily speak Spanish as much. I mean, I hear about this. Like, there's people talk about how, you know, Hispanic LA is, but there's still kind of this pull with the younger generations to mostly speak English, is what I've heard.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My contemporaries that I've come across with, they're nice and all, but most of them, my contemporaries, and this applies to everybody, not just Hispanics, everybody. They just became one of many. They've become, oh God, the same people. Ginger fried.
Yeah, conformity, that sense.
They ginger fried themselves.
Oh, you mean how in society there's this
holy
sort of like
moly.
Deracinated like monoculture?
You lost me there. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, deracinated, maybe more of a right-wing term, but it actually, listen, it's a relevant word that applies to, like, yeah, it's not just, deracinated was like, it's like what's his name? Who's in Drive? Why is his name not, it's like, Jesus, why is his name not coming to you? Ryan,
Gosling?
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with me? It's
you
like
the movie
Gosling and the Believer, deracinated, but like it actually does apply. Like things do move towards like a
Like there's people like all their culture comes from the internet or pop culture, and they have no identity that comes from their family that's passed on.
Right.
Like a lot of people are like that of all sorts of backgrounds.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, and so I don't have no negative and put in it. It's just I guess it depends on the person. If I feel miffed, you know, why I'm so miffed on the person is they just think that they're higher than thou, or they feel a certain way that gives them some sort of superior. And I notice this, that they feel a sense of superiority, thinking they're hot as shit, and it's a crummy way to be when you're thinking that way, being hot as shit. And then, and just me saying this making me sound like I've never got laid or anything or this, that, or the other. And who gives a flying F-U-C-K if I am? It's none of your damn business either. My business ain't your business. Your business ain't my business. So, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I apologize if I'm being bipolar here. I apologize. I'm just being lively because it just really
grinds my gears. You don't need to apologize.
Oh. Well, really does grind my gears with my contemporaries. Some of them, not all, but some of them, that they think they're hot at S-H-I-T.
Yeah.
Just because they bloomed and they got them nice legs or what have you, this, that, or the other. Boy, oh boy, let me tell you something. All that is going to be right out the window.
What's they're flying high, but their wings are going to melt? Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. This is kind of back right to Gardena, but I heard back in the 1960s there was plans to make it like a second, like a mini Las Vegas for California, but it never came into fruition.
Nope.
Anything about that?
That's why we got that one big fat casino.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Too, but the big fat one, the bigger one, right in Redondo Beach in Vermont.
The Hustler Casino, I think.
Yes, we have it now. So that's evident. It would, there's some sort of a ghost of a relic of what it could have been or would have been, but I'm glad it never became that. Oh, God, I'm glad it never became that.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting idea, but it would have changed the character of everything.
Yes. Man, we wouldn't have the Looney Bin. Maybe we wouldn't even have the Gardena Cinema, but the Looney Bin probably, but the Looney Bin would have been so different.
I remember you talking about the Looney Bin, your first time about Gardena. I was like, is he talking about an actual asylum? But it's not. It's an antique store, right?
It's an antique store, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm so
– actually gone together.
I'm sad you didn't get to go.
I don't think – what's interesting is we go to Gardena to pick up Omar, but I don't think we've really gone to that many places there.
Yeah, we should focus on that next time around.
Yes, please. Yes, please, please, please. Oh, I bet you you're. I don't want to. I don't want to be nasty or mean there, but.
Oh, you.
But this is off the record.
Yeah.
Okay, well, off the record, I bet you that Alex Guzemi never been to Gardena. Mm.
I think that's probably a safe bet. It's not a pretentious place to go at all, but it is. I'd say it is nice. It's not like
it is nice.
I'm not like
pretending,
fetishizing like a rougher neighborhood or something. Gardena is actually lovely and very clean and very nice.
Yes.
And quiet. Yeah. I feel a similar way about parts of the valley where I live.
It does remind me of parts of the valley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too quiet for its own good. You can even hear the horses neigh in the evening.
You always say, you always mention these horses. Are these like kind of stables?
Yeah. You got to walk with me to go
to check
it out, because I'm telling you, we got a horse ranch across the street from the high school.
Yeah. No,
Christ, they neigh like it's hearing a siren or something going on. The neigh is like hearing a siren. Yeah. Gardena, it's a character. It's a character. It's a life of its own. And this, I think it applies to every place, Montana or Texas or Virginia or Idaho or Minnesota or Ohio or Iowa, or hell, I'll even say Echo Park. It's all a life of its own. So same in Gardena. It's a life of its own. And I'm so sad, really. I am ashamed that my contemporaries, that they've lived here quite some time, haven't even been or set foot to Gardena or Torrance or Wilmington. Now that really does really breaks my heart. It really does. Because if I'm going all above and beyond, going all these other places, you know, it's, what does that say to about them?
Yeah.
Yeah,
what
it's
does
been
that
a,
say about them?
It's been a great show. I want to thank Matt Pegas and Omar King for being on.
Oh, God, it's over?
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, do you have anything you want to do? You have anything you want to plug, Omar? Your book or social media or anything?
Got so many. Oh God, where do I begin with Matt? Because there's so many.
Well, we've plugged An Odyssey of Dingbats. That's the important one. It's available on Amazon.
Okay.
An Odyssey of Dingbats.
Yes.
Exclamation point by Mr. Omar King. Beyond the Last Estate, you're on the cover. Soft White Underbelly. I'm sure Robert, you'll link the video. You're pretty easy to find online. Just look up Mr. Omar King. AHS and the Black Lodge, I think, on Twitter and Instagram. Omar's built up, so he you look up the book, you look up the video, you won't be hard to find, and you'll see everything else he's got going on. You know, got some writing.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's my version of pitching you, but you can go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I got that one interview. I get doing a lot of interviews, questionnaires with the Vera Co. PR. Mm-hmm. I just did that one. It's going to come out either this month or next month. That I doing. Well, I have. And what else? My story, Paul, is on Theology of Anxiety Press. The title, well, there's not the story, but the anthology is called Torment Flesh. And then I believe it's going to come out this month. And I'm thinking of throwing a launch party for it. I want to throw a launch party. If that makes sense. I want to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For the anxiety press anthology. Yeah, no,
I really do. I really am passionate about that.
Yeah, my only
and
question
I really
is,
want.
Go ahead.
How
many people are going to be in LA? We got to figure that one out. But yes, I fundamentally agree.
Well, whoever was a contributor of that anthology, I'm sure one of them lives here in Los Angeles. And I know one of them lives in New York City. And I know one of them lives in the Midwest or something like that. I'm sure they can fly. They can fly. Or
yeah.
Either we fly to them or they fly to us.
Yeah, we should call Chicago. Yeah.
Chicago would be great to throw a launch party.
I feel like Chicago
I
wanna
do
doesn't
that.
Have any of this, but maybe I'm wrong.
Which one? Chicago?
Yeah, like there's all these readings in New York and LA, and I kind of think that's it. Like, I don't know. I don't know if there's equivalents.
Why not? Let's do it in Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of something else. Oh, boy. Reality TV. I'm doing that, but I cannot say the title or what is it or the themed. Or let's just put it this way. It's reality TV.
Yeah.
And Matt, you know about this too, so
of course.
We I wish we can say more of it, but it'll come out next year.
Yeah,
so just wait in a year, and you'll understand.
Lots going on.
Yeah,
lots
great show
going on.
Really, really exciting. Great talking to you both, Matt and Omar.
Fun as always. Yes.
Yes, Matt and Evan. Oh, it's a shame that we're not in person, but man, oh man, we'd have a good time in person. Just.
Thank you for tuning in. You can follow Robert Stark on his Substack at robertstark.substack or on his website at starktruthradio.com. See you next time.